Slow ahead.
Slow ahead. I can go slow ahead. Come on down and chum some of this shit.
Everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap, bringing to you episode 63 here in the middle of July. Your host, Gus Manti. Apologies about the last podcast with the audio. I think I forgot to plug something in and we were passing around the mic when it was Brian, Max, and I chatting here at the boys' cabin, and it ended up going just through the computer, so the audio came out a little just from the computer as opposed to the nice microphone, which is unfortunate, but that's all right, still came through. But anyways, let's introduce the other hosts on here tonight. How are you doing, Max? What's going on? I know you've been able to get a good amount of fishing in this month and caught some fish.
Yeah, no, July's been off to a much better start than June. I would say my only complaints right now is I got absolutely butchered at the salon today getting a haircut. I don't know if you call it a salon if you go get a haircut as a guy.
Haircut. Let's see it.
It was bad. I mean, my girlfriend told me I look like Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder. It's been chaos here at the household. So it's not a good look. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to be just a full-time hat guy now, I guess, even in corporate America. I don't know what else to do here. So I'd love your advice. I mean, I'm like I said on the podcast a few weeks ago, I moved, wanted somebody a little bit closer to me. So I walked in and new lady didn't know the landscape she was working with. Just went to town. Walked out of there with my tail between my legs, but you know what? We're here tonight. It's going to be good. It's all good. But yeah, no, I mean, on a more serious note, fishing was awesome over the 4th. I got to spend like, I don't know, Gus, what was I up there like 13 days, I think, or something like that. You're probably getting sick of having me as a roommate, but yeah, it was nice to be back up north for that extended amount of time. Brian was up there for a bit, and as we recapped on our last pod, we had a really good time over the 4th, and then I stayed up that whole next week and got a bunch of fishing in. So I'm sure we'll touch on that. I was able to make it out here locally in the metro with my buddy Ryan this last week, really early in the morning. So good to get back out into Tonka. Another little bit of an aquarium situation, looking at some fish, but nonetheless, nice to be back out there. But yeah, before I just kind of ramble on here, we'll turn it over to our other co-host here, Mr. Brian Eckel. Brian, it was good to see you the other week. What's been new since we last departed?
Not a whole lot new. Just been on that work grind. Got a bunch of golf up this weekend, playing wise and viewing wise. We got the British Open, the final major of the year. I got to backtrack a little bit. I said I was done with Rory. We're out in hell, whatever I said. I take it all back. I think he's in a new mental state this week. I'm back on the wagon. You know, if the U.S. Open didn't phase him, like in the pressers, it didn't phase me. I'm putting my money down on him. So that'll be fun to watch. Probably in store for another heartbreak, but
after his last choke job that he had, he like wandered the streets in New York City to like gain some perspective. And I was just cracking up at that. I'm like, you know, imagine. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that article, but apparently he's like, yeah, when I went to New York, you know, my perspective changed. There's just so many people around and everyone's got their own lives. And I was just cracking up. I'm like, man,
imagine
having like a really bad musky trip. Like, just got to go to the big city just to see what else everyone else is doing. You know, my life isn't that important. What I'm doing doesn't really matter that much.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I saw him. He's like, apparently, you know, nobody in New York seemed to care that I choked it away. So, you know, it's not as big of a deal as I thought. Like,
it's all good. It's all good.
That's what you got to tell yourself. But yeah, it'll be a fun one to watch. Kind of sad that the golf season's coming to an end on us pretty quick. I mean, we still got the Ryder Cup and, you know, a few more fun events, but the major season's wrapping up. So stay tuned for that recap next week. But Gus, sounds like you've had some trips here as of late. You've had some league night tournaments or outings. How have those gone? What kind of feeling?
It's been very, very good. The bite on that heat up was super solid. We boated quite a few fish. We had definitely a couple days of triples, a couple doubles. A few nice fish, no super giants, but did land up to, I think, like a 43 or so incher this past week, a couple over 40. And it's been really good. You know, blades and rubber's been the ticket. We just had a major cold front this Wednesday of this week, July 17th. And this morning it was all dive and rise. Navins and Suix took right back over, but I'll touch on that maybe in a second. But going back to some league nights and such, I don't know, did we talk about Max when you and I fished one? No, so in between then, we had Max and I went out together. We doubled that night, I think a 36 and a 39, some more points for the squad this next week. So Max subbed in, but this last week, Monday, Dad came back. He already had two nice fish earlier in the year, and this past Monday he tripled up with three upper 30s, one of them being a tiger, and he shot us right back up the leaderboard, back sitting in first place. Dad's sitting back in first place, top gun of the year so far, top gun angler. Nice. That's an individual award. Damn. Hopefully we can keep that rolling for him, and he can find some fish. He had some nice fish. Two of them ate way out in the cast on blades, and the last one came in the figure eight. He caught the first one in like the first 10 minutes, 12 minutes of league. We raised a bunch of lazy fish the rest of the night, and then at about 8:43, he hooked up on that tiger. I was telling him on the spot, like, just take two more casts, and then we'll go to the spot where we know there's a bunch of fish to just hit the final bit. And then he hooked up on that tiger. We put that, you know, measure it, put it back in the water, and just immediately, immediately take off and go to where we knew there was some more fish. And we literally, you know, put down the trolling motor, and I think within somewhere between 3, 4, and 5 casts, he hooks up on the his third at 8:50, and then released that and left because league ends at 9. So it was a hectic, chaotic last 20 minutes, 15 minutes.
Sounds like it. Did you you want to touch at all about your big day guiding? This last week, were you guys just pretty much smash fest the entire day?
Yeah, that was an unreal day. I didn't know what to think of that weather day, to be honest. We had like a northeast wind and, you know, not a ton of clouds or something. They kind of were coming in and out, but it didn't feel like a super bitey day. And it started so that we, you know, hit this minor right away, kind of late morning around like 9:30 a.m. And the one guy stuck like a 40 on a pit bull, like right at the boat, vertical jaws eat. I was like, hell yeah. Sick. Okay, we got a bite. That was sweet. Then I think we went through a pretty big lull of not much going on. I think, I'm not even sure we really raised one. Actually, we raised a nice one, which later we ended up catching, but it was really lazy and it kind of followed a few baits a little bit. And then all of a sudden we threw on the, we're just changing baits, you know, trying rubber baits, trying this and that. And then finally we throw on this IC7 first spot. The one dude hooks up on a smaller fish and brings it in. I'm like, okay, sweet. And so you got two now. And maybe we're on a pattern. Then the one dude proceeds to go 5 for 6 on the IC7. They were just freaking smashing at that day. And he was burning it in too. You know, we were working with like low 70s water temps still. You know, yeah, I think it was like 73-ish or so. And he was burning it. And then, you know, he boated a Tiger as well, an upper 30s Tiger. And then we went back later that night on that big fish, and the IC7 sealed the deal on that one. That one was, I think, right around 44. And that was a super solid fish. So that day was a lot of fun. Was not expecting that many bites that day, but had a blast. And we
sounds great.
I think there was only one other fish we contacted that didn't bite. So we contacted 9, 8 bit, 7 landed. So not bad.
Good day. Wow. And that heat up really helped. I mean, you know, like it was just a lot of fish hitting the net over the past, I mean, I guess really just since the start of July, which has been good. We can touch on a few others, but yeah, with this heat up, I mean, have you been on any water that you've really seen get close to that 80-degree mark? I mean, I guess I don't know these days. Is it 75? Is it 77? Is it 80? I mean, when are we supposed to get off these waters? It's right, hard to say. Right. If you read on Facebook, depends, I don't know, ask, if you're even supposed to fish for these things. But, I mean, I obviously don't want to advocate for fishing in hot water. But, like, that seemed to be the buzz on the socials. And I don't mm-hmm. know. I was on the water a lot. I never saw anything higher than 70. So 77 one day on the chain. That was when I was on the pontoon boat drinking some cocktails.
Right.
That was the hottest I ever saw. So I don't know.
I saw about 78. There might've been, like, I know for sure some of the really shallow junky bays were hitting warmer than that, but I wasn't hitting any of that. I've been hitting a lot of main lake, basin points, bars, just anything that kind of sticks out to more of the deeper water, deeper edges. And, you know, when that really, really heat up, I was definitely trying to fish larger bodies of water, and even some of the larger stained bodies of water were still holding like 76.5, 77, 77.5 by like the hottest part of the day. You know, I think that was definitely boosting the metabolism in the fish, and we were handling them very quickly. I don't think any of the fish ever had any stressed out fins. You know, maybe there was one with like a tiny little red dollop on it, but every single fish released with a just head full of steam and right back down there, and definitely ready to chow a different day, probably sit on the bottom for a little bit and rethink their decision on eating whatever the hell they just ate. But no, really, I think unless you're fishing some really, really shallow mud bowls of lakes, you probably didn't really have too much of an issue. This cold snap brought it right down. I mean, the chain went from like 78, 77, right to about 72, 72.5, 73. Couple spots were holding 74 still, and we're now going to get a couple nights in the 40s again. So the temps are going to completely regulate themselves and go right back to good low to mid 70s.
And I am just kind of being a smart ass because I, you know, more so just from reading comments and stuff, but like what is, you know, an appropriate, I guess, in your opinion, like if you saw a certain temperature on your depth finders, I know you kind of read it a few different ways, but when would you kind of turn to a different lake or something of that nature? If you're seeing something, or just, you know, stop fishing entirely.
Right. I mean, if it's reaching that upper set, like 79, and it's a hot day and it's only going to get warmer, like it's only getting warmer from there, you know, I probably would pull the plug there and just go somewhere much, much larger, deeper and clearer. Cause those, I've hopped on a few, and when that wind was blowing, I mean, I hopped on this lake that I've really only been on like once, and I remembered it to be pretty clear, and it was over 1,000 acres. And that day the chain was 77, 78, and this lake in particular during the middle of the day, it's like 85 degrees blowing wind. And it was like 75 surface temp, you know, 74, 75, okay. 76 in a few areas. So you just got to play your cards right. And, you know, maybe stay off of some of those really, really shallow basin lakes that are relatively small. You know, it all has to do with that basin and the wind pushing around. Because realistically, you just don't want to bring them up to that super hot temperature because they're usually sitting down more in the temperature that they're more comfortable with. So, yeah, it's all pretty good now. That cold front definitely helped the water temps up here.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Awesome. All right. Well, anything else we want to touch on? We got one of our favorite guests coming back on here. He hasn't been on in a while, so we're pretty excited to chat with him. He's got some good news to tell us, I think.
Yeah.
But
is this the third or fourth appearance?
He's got to be the most. Got to be the most recurring guest at this point.
Let's introduce him.
All right. Yeah, we got Clayton Spies of Thistledew Outdoors. I think he's riding home from Leek here tonight, where I know that he stuck another nice fish. So, Clayton, how you doing tonight? Tell the people hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Going well.
Doing great.
Is there a ton of like background noise? Because my truck's kind of loud. I feel bad about that.
No, it sounds actually pretty good.
Are you just driving home right now from League?
Yeah, I got Josh in the vehicle with me. Josh and I fished Wednesday night Muskie League. Tonight, sub for Peter Blickertz and Mitch Ellis down there. So Peter's up in Canada and Mitch is working.
All right, so we got to loop in Josh here. Josh, what's it like to share the boat with Clayton?
Oh, it's not bad at all. He has a fine boat. Fine boat. He's been catching a lot of fish lately, so it's been keeping me busy.
Yeah, not to mention some big ones too. So let's just dive right into it. So tonight obviously went well for you guys. You got a fish. Did you guys also kind of see that cold front have an effect on them as well, that like Gus was kind of talking about earlier?
Well, I didn't really chime in time to hear about his chat about the cold front, but we definitely switched baits that we were using to dive rise tonight based on the cold front. And on our first spot, we got a fish right away. The first time around this rock pile, I thought I saw one on live kind of swimming, but I wasn't really sure. I was still trying to figure out the spot. It was the first time ever fishing it in my boat. And so we did a full loop. And I was like, let's try the bottom side of this one more time, because I thought I saw one when we first started, and it came right up probably about 10 feet from the boat and crushed the navin. So that was pretty sweet. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the fish were more active down in Three Lakes tonight than they were on Eagle River Chain last night for Tuesday Night League. We moved probably four other fish and lost one other one. Josh lost one right at the boat. I wasn't fast enough. I just made a bomb cast and I was debating whether or not to burn the bait in or free spool it to try and net it. And he looked like he was out for a little bit. So I was cranking in as fast as I could. And he got it alongside the boat and the thing kind of dove down and head shook and spit the bait. Unfortunately, that was on one of Nick's baits, his dive rise bait, Nick Amaro's.
Oh,
so
no.
that stinks big time. Like, we were really hoping to get one for him, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, that's always a bummer. Yeah, just tonight, the guy that I had, we were already having some success, you know, a couple boated and, you know, nothing big yet. So unfortunately, the larger ones came unpinned. So towards the end, he's like, he said he was just going to throw his crankbait that he made himself. And it was pretty sweet, you know, perch pattern, really natural. He had like this cool chamber where he put the BBs in there, and they would, like, when the bait would rise up, it would like roll back and forth, and the BBs would kind of still clank together as it was rising. And he had, I think, a pretty nice one, like, roll on it, like completely boil and like right on the surface. And I don't think it got hooks, but that would have been sweet.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah, and he's never, and yeah, just earlier in the day, he caught his first muskie ever, and that particular crankbait that he was throwing, he caught his personal best pike on. He didn't have like a full-on measuring thing, but he put it up to a rod and said it was like about 40-ish or more. Oh. So, and that was up here in the Northwoods, so that's pretty sweet.
That's a trophy.
For sure.
Yeah. I'd say so. All right. Well, one of the many reasons why we brought you on here tonight, Clayton, was you had a pretty special occurrence go down in your boat here recently. I know you put the video out on the socials and whatnot. So if you haven't checked it out, make sure to take a look at Clayton's YouTube page, which I'm sure we'll plug here at the end. But regardless of that, you want to walk us through what all went down here in your boat this last week? Pretty cool experience.
Yeah. So I had one of my, a friend of a friend, basically. I've been friends with this guy now for probably about 14 years. I've known him. And he's got a family, and his one boy, Mason or whatever, his name is Clint, and then his boy's name is Mason. And Clint is, he's been musky fishing for probably about 14 years too, but kind of like a weekend warrior. Like, he gets out here and there, but obviously doesn't get to fish as much as we do. But he puts fish in the boat. He knows what he's doing in the boat. And Mason, you know, another one of those young anglers that just, you know, absolutely loves the sport and loves to fish and gives it everything that he's got for as long as he possibly can when he's out there. Which is really cool to see. And he's, you know, just soaks in everything that you tell him or whatever. So they came up and booked me for a day and a half. And the first day we went out and we actually had quite a bit of action. We ended up 2 for 4, saw probably another 10 fish or so. It was really actually pretty good. Probably could have gotten a few others with some better figure eights, but whatever, that bygone be bygone. You never know if they're going to eat or not. But Mason ended up catching one by himself. That was actually the first muskie that he actually was able to hold by himself.
Nice.
Nice.
After we got it bumped and everything, like, he really wanted to try and hold it. So we put some gloves on him and got him in a good position, got plenty of space, you know, and place for him to sit or whatever. And I got that fish in his lap for him. He got a great picture of it. So he was stoked on that. And then obviously so day two, I, you know, after that day, you know, obviously it was a success, and basically Clint was like, you know, that was awesome. That totally made the trip. You know, whatever happens after this is whatever. I'm like, well, do you want to go to a numbers lake, or, you know, you want to go try for a giant or something? And he's like, well, I think with, you know, Mason and everything else, we should probably just stick to a numbers lake. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm like, where do you want to go? And he's like, well, I've never, you know, fish. Mason wanted to fish a chain. For some reason, he just wanted to go on Eagle River chain.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, you know, yeah, that's definitely a numbers body of water. So, yeah, so we went out there. We had the morning to fish before they had to head back south for one of Clint's daughter's soccer games. So we got out, and I know we fished one lake on the chain, and we had actually, I think we lost two on that lake, and probably we had a ton of action. Just a little lake on Duck Lake or whatever on the river chain, just a pile of action. Couldn't get any in the boat or whatever, but I was like, I'm like, all right, we got a little bit of probably 2 hours left of fishing because we spent some time out there. I'm like, I should go one way or the other. And I haven't really had much action in otter for a while. And that was kind of like, well, I'm like, what the heck? Let's just head that direction. And I want to fish some stuff that I haven't fished in a while, just because I just got a weird feeling. And so we drove up there and shut her down. And Clint comes walking back to the boat. He's like, I think I'm going to throw one of my baits. I'm like, okay, whatever. And he like pulls out this double 8 or double 6, I think, really small double bucktail or whatever. I'm like, he's like, what do you think of this? I'm like, well, I've seen better colors, but, you know, you never know. I'm like, sometimes they eat the dumb, gaudy stuff, I guess. And sure as shit,
all the time.
Five casts in, the guy hooks up and I just hear him. Oh, I'm like, what the? And I look back and his rod's doubled over. I'm like, oh yeah, he got one. He's like, yeah, I got one. So I threw my rod down, grabbed the net. And I'm like, you know, if you see the video, you know, I'm like, oh, where are you at? You know, and I just see it's down deep. I run up to the front of the boat and I get my first look at the fish. I'm like, holy shit, that's a big fish. you know, and thinking in my mind at the time, I'm like, that's like a 47, 48, you know, probably easily. But I didn't really want to get him, you know, super nervous. And I don't know if he realized how big it was because he, you know, I think we fought it without really talking about how big it was until after it made a few runs and, you know, he got it to the point where he could get it. And that went in pretty clean. I would say, honestly, like everything, he had that thing pinned so freaking good. It wasn't going to come off no matter what. But he like looks at me, he's like, yeah, man, that was sweet. Like, what do you think? Like 42, 43. And I'm like, I was thinking like 48, but maybe, you know, maybe I'm misjudging this. I'm not really sure. Like, I guess I'm telling it's at least 45. He's like, nah, no way. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. So like, I get down in there with the pliers and I'm, you know, whatever, get my hand under the gills. I'm like, oh, brick, you know, or I, you know, kind of want to see it, you know what I said, oh fuck, but because I was like, this is a fucking tank, like, because you know when you get your hand inside the head of a big fish, you know, there's nothing, you know, that once you get to that size of a fish, they it just feels different, like it's sure. Just it's a completely different animal, and I'm like, this thing's a giant, and I got it unpinned and we got it in the net just kind of swimming in there for a while, and we're kind of laughing and trying to stop shaking or whatever. Cause we were both, I was extremely excited. I still don't think he really understood how big it was. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I know you've handled a ton of fish. And I'm okay. If you want to pull the fish out, measure it, you know, in pictures and stuff, let's just be really cautious. Like we cleared the whole back deck area, pulled all the tackle boxes out, like just made sure that there was plenty of room, no stumbling around, that we couldn't, you know, like fall and, you know, whatever we could do to make sure that we didn't hurt this fish. And he's like, no, I want you to measure it. And then I want you to hand it to me. And I'm like, all right, well, what hand are you comfortable with? And we figured it all out, got a game plan, got the cameras ready and everything. And I like, so I get in there and I start pulling the fish out of the net. And I'm like, oh, this is a 30 plus pound fish. I'm like, this thing is huge. And it just kept going as it came out of the net. And I laid it on the board. I'm like, oh my God, this could be magical. I'm like, there's no way this is happening. And I, you know, I just got on the board and I like cracked the jaw and pushed it up against the back and swiped the tail. And he's like, 49 3/4. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, hang on, I can get this to 50. And I like just gave it one pull. He's like, it's 50. I'm like, what? I'm like, he's like, measure it again. So I went through, he's like, oh, 15, 16. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, I can get to 50 again if you want me to. He's like, ah. Let's just call it 49 3/4. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, he's like, it's, I don't want my first 50 to be stretched. I'm like, all right, you call it whatever the hell you want. I don't care. That's like super cool. All right, let's put it back in the net. Cause at this point he's like, I got to get that mounted or get a replica. So I'm like, okay, well, we're going to take some girth measurements and I'll get the head measurement and stuff. So we put it back in the net, let it swim for a little bit. It was super healthy, like no issues with it at all. This is probably, you know, if you see the pictures of the fish, you, would never think that that came out of the Eagle River chain. Like that fish was built like a brick shit house, like something from the Chippewa flowage. Like obviously it was a big Wisco greenie, but that thing was built so good. My imagination of a 50 inch fish out of the Eagle River chain is like got scars all up and down it. You can't even tell it's a musky anymore because it's just so beat up. No teeth left. You know, the jaw's ripped, you know, in four different ways because it's been hooked 9,000 times. But no, this fish never looked like it spawned, never looked like it ever got hooked. Like it's ever, didn't look like it's ever even seen a person. I mean, I'm sure it has, but it was very well taken care of by the grace of God. That thing was absolutely pristine and just built like none other, which is so cool to like think of, you know, you just don't think of fish of that caliber out on the Eagle River chain. I know there's starting to be some nicer fish caught out there more and more all the time. And people say, oh, there's no big fish in the chain, or the stocking's horrible. The chain's on the downhill. That's a bunch of bullshit. Like it's actually doing really well. And I mean, there's a ton of quality fish out there and they're built well. Like they're just looking good in my opinion. But so anyway, so we girthed it think we girthed it at 21 inches roughly. Like that was close enough for me, for him. And then I tried to get like a head measurement, but the fish was starting to get kind of like, I'm ready to get out of here, and wasn't really liking me put the tape, excuse me, down the head. So I got it on like the nose and tried to measure to the back of the gill plate. And it was over 12 inches, which I'm not sure, but I think that's really big.
Sounds
so,
big.
I mean, the head was giant on it. So, all right. So that was good. And then, you know, we talked about, okay, now let's get some pictures. So we pulled it back out and, actually Clint pulled it out of the net that time, 'cause the fish was, you know, behaving itself pretty well. Got some pictures quick, put it back in the water. And, he immediately, the fish like tensed up, like it was ready to go. He's like, this thing's ready already. I'm like, man, it's crazy for like, you know, really we handled the fish for, it probably a while, but it was in the net most of the time, but you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes, whatever on my video, you know, kind of captured all that. But the thing took maybe, I don't know, maybe a minute. He held it and then it swam off on its own. It stayed up kind of near the surface. And then we watched it swim down. And this is absolutely crazy too. But he's like, what's it look like on the live? So we got live imaging turned on to it. And my live imaging was set in like perspective or landscape. And so we got to watch it swim down to the bottom, and another fish swam over. We saw a fish come out of the weeds and swim and join it, like significantly smaller. I would guess probably like 40 inches. And the two fish just kind of swam out into the, like we followed it out to the basin, the family, to the point where my landscape didn't work anymore, because it was so deep and that fish was down near the bottom. But it just went back out in the abyss. Like, well, see you later. That's probably the last time anyone's ever going to see me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. He's like the godfather of the lake. I mean, that's a couple hundred acre lake. And I mean, yeah, obviously like you mentioned, the Eagle River chain has that rep, which, you know, I think with the lack of big fish is not necessarily warranted, but you're not seeing fish that caliber typically come out of the chain. I mean, we just literally were having the conversation.
Yeah, we were debating like, this. Yeah, a weekend.
How many 50 inchers do you think are left in the chain? And I think it depends on who you ask, but I'll say this, there's not many that get caught of that size out of that body of water. Like, I mean, in the past, I don't know, a good amount of time. I mean, I have not heard of a fish of that size coming out of the chain a long time.
Clayton,
yeah,
Clayton,
just,
from...
I've heard a couple stories in the last like 5 years of fish up to, I mean, I've heard stories up to like 53, but I always tried to get pictures of those fish from, they were like vacationers and like somebody staying at a resort, and the resort owner was like, oh yeah, this, I'm like, send me a picture, please. And nothing ever came of it. So you never know like what's actual truth and what isn't, but yeah, that's a very rare fish. It still is a very rare fish for out there. 100%.
Oh, definitely. I think in the last 5 or 6 years, there's like one that I heard of as well. And I never got a picture at all. So I think the next biggest were a couple of those like 48 and a half. So I think one, there was like a 48 and a half caught in league a couple of years ago. And then wasn't there like a 48 caught by somebody like before a tournament or during a tournament, like last year, Spring Classic or something like that? I don't know. But realistically, yeah, like when I think of big fish in the chain, it's, you know, usually like 44 to 46, and, you know, 47 and up is pretty mythical. But, you know, a few of them have definitely been showing themselves, and literally just talking about it, Max, Brian, and I, and like our dad, you know, are all contemplating like, oh, there's one per lake left, you know, maybe like a 50 incher. But then you going out and pretty much doing it, having Clint catch that, you know, 49 and three quarters or 15 sixteenths or whatever. That was pretty sweet. That's pretty special moment. And to have Mason be there and see that, I'm sure his eyes were popping out of his head seeing how big of a creature was actually swimming down there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, It's kind of funny. And I, sorry, Mason, when you listen to this, I know Mason listens to your, actually Clint and Mason both listen to your podcast religiously. And they
That's
look
awesome.
Forward to it every week, but,
shout out Clint,
sorry, Mason,
shout out. And Mason,
shout out,
shout out,
throw you
shout
under
out.
The bus, but Clint actually, I think a week prior, roughly lost a fish even bigger in southern Wisconsin. And it would have been Mason's first fish that he could actually net for somebody else, because them two were fishing together. So he's like, I'm netting the fish, I'm netting the fish. And Clint was like, I don't know, this is a giant, you know. He's like, no, I can do it, I can do it. So he let him do it. And yeah, he might have stuck it on the outside of the bag or whatever, and they ended up losing it. But Clint was like, I think that was actually closer to 51, 52 now after seeing how big this one was. I'm like, holy
brighter
cow.
Days ahead.
Wow. Hey, Mason, that, hit my line, man. We can talk it out. I've been there.
Yeah. And you know, like they can laugh and joke about it now and everything. And, you know, so like, it's so funny because Mason was just like, yeah, that's a good one. But that one the other day was really good. I'm like, unreal. I'm like, the guy's a magnet for big fish all of a sudden. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
it is awesome.
Brian, did you have something you wanted to ask?
I was just going to have, Clayton kind of guess how many 50s from like Waters Meat to Cranberry left in the chain, because I was thinking somewhere in like the 6 ballpark, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, we haven't heard of any.
I would say probably, I honestly, I would think 8 to 10.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And I would have probably said that before this fish even. I've always okay. believed that they're there. And you know, like every year in one of our leagues up here, somebody catches a fish, maybe not that big, but a fish that nobody else has seen before, and it doesn't look like it's been seen by anybody before, super clean. Like, there's a lot of water. I mean, these lakes aren't that big, but they're big enough that there's water that these fish can avoid people, surprisingly. And whatever their pattern is, and not, you know, not get caught or not get seen for years and years and years, you know, and then all of a sudden they just show up. And if you're lucky, you get a chance to see one of these things, you know, or maybe even hold it. But there's a lot of, there are so many fish in that Eagle River chain. It's unbelievable. And there's a lot of fish that people don't ever even see, I don't think, for whatever reason.
I agree. I mean, I think when those fish pushed up to the weeds pretty aggressively over this past, you know, I don't know, 2 weeks now with the warm up and everything, it's definitely shown its true colors and potential. You know, again, for me, like, it got me re kind of energized to fish the chain after a few, you know, solo outings and whatnot. But I mean, I think, you know, what makes this story cool, and did a great, great job telling it, I, you know, we have listeners from Canada, you know, over to Minnesota that deal with much bigger fish a lot more often. You know, the length here is kind of relative to the body of water that we're talking about. Like, this is a body of water that we've all been fishing for a really long time. And like, fish this size just don't get caught. I don't know if you could make a direct comparison to like what it would be equivalent to on like a big Minnesota lake or something like that. I don't even know if it's worth trying to do that. But it's just kind of,
I would throw a number out there. I would throw, sure. I would say it's equivalent to like a 54 or 55, like a legal, like a Green Bay legal or a Minnesota, you know, double nickel.
Sure. Yeah. And that'd probably be a fair comparison, I would say. I mean, I just think with how many tournaments there are in the chain, how many league nights there are, with how many good anglers there are, you just don't hear a fish that size being caught. So I think that's, for me, where it's like, that's pretty freaking cool. Like, I mean, we've been fishing the chain for how many years, and maybe Brian, the one you moved in the fall, that one year that we joke about, give you shit about, that you should have figured eight on, you know, on the last like hour of our trip, might've been in that upper 40s potential. But I mean, we, you know, it's few and far between for fish that size that we've even seen in 15 years. You know, so I think that's what makes it so great. And you've been fishing the chain forever. I mean, have you, and it's not like you saw that fish and went back on it. I mean, it just surprised you.
Yeah, I had no idea. I had obviously no idea it was there. And honestly, like, a lot of fish, you know, with all the electronics, you know, that we can use right now, and not sharpshooting, we're, you know, still fishing structure, you know, just like normal, but I'm using it to like kind of help find fish. If somebody gets a follow and the fish goes somewhere or whatever, you know, maybe we can cast back and get it. But I never saw that fish before it ate either. Like I was so shocked because I'm, you know, when I'm guiding, I'm paying really close attention to these electronics, trying to make sure that I'm giving people the best opportunity, trying to remain calm, you know, like letting them know, like, especially if people are like starting to slow down on figure eights or, you know, or if they're doing like a half a turn pulling the bait out, you know, I just want to be like, hey, you know, make a couple figure eights on this cast, you know, just, you know, just to keep the bait in going a little bit longer, swing a little bit wider on this, you know, just maybe not saying, oh, you got one coming or whatever, you know, because then people will be like, what? And just stop doing what they're doing, but just kind of urge them or push them in the right direction to, you know, maybe make a little bit better, more perfect figure eight or something, you know. And that fish, yeah, I had absolutely no idea that, and that was a spot that I haven't even seen a fish on for probably 3 or 4 years. So it's weird.
Wow, that's crazy. So I mean, I know Gus, your client hooked a giant fish on the chain that I raised when I was out fishing, maybe potentially the same fish that I raised when I was out fishing with Brian one morning, that I ballparked, you know, in the mid-40s range. And the only reason why I felt stupid saying it was bigger than that, because I'm like, we're on the chain. I didn't expect to move a fish that big. And then, you know, Gus was out with the client and hooked that, probably that fish, and I'll let Gus talk about that. But like, I guess a question for Clayton real quick, and then we can toss it back to Gus. But like, do you have any theories on maybe why some of these bigger fish are showing up, you know, maybe just particular to the Eagle River system? Because I think that's been fairly consistent this year with bigger fish kind of showing their faces or some new fish. But I've kind of seen it all over, like in Vilas County this year, there's been some giant fish caught. Do you have any
54s,
theories as to, yeah, 54 was just caught. You know, we've
54 and
seen
three
some other
quarters
50 plus
earlier.
fish. 50, yeah. So, Clay, do you got any, I guess, could you theorize on maybe why you think that's going on, or is it just, you don't know?
No, I mean, yeah, there's, you could sit there and try and think of all the different explanations for it. You know, was it a, you know, the early ice out that got the fish active faster, but then our spring was drawn out and the spawn might have been weird. Maybe not, you know, maybe wasn't weird. Is it the better, you know, the weeds are more than what they normally are? Maybe the bait is moving a little bit differently because of the way the spring was. I mean, it was a very like unprecedented, you know, crazy winter without any snow. And as early as the ice went out, you know, maybe, you know, even though their spawn was messed up, maybe it had more of an impact than we thought as far as, you know, their activity. And maybe it's changing, maybe it changed the way that the fish are, you know, are feeding for whatever reason. It's still affecting them. You know, I'm not, I guess that would be something that I would, you know, that would, I would maybe lean towards, is it has some, maybe something to do with the early ice out, even though it, we had kind of a delayed spring. I don't know. May, you know, at what point do those fish start, you know, getting more active? You know, what's that water temp hit, you know, when they, yeah, I guess people from maybe the south, you know, like Ohio and stuff like that, that can fish all year. Maybe they can answer that a little bit better than I can, because we don't get to fish generally until the water is really warm. But, you know, if it's different, you know, springs, you know, 1 year from the next or whatever, is that gonna affect? I know it does affect them, but, you know, how? And maybe that's part of it. Maybe it just changed the way the bait's moving too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing that I don't think I can put my finger on the subject as to why, but I mean, it's just like on some given years, and Clayton, I know you've definitely seen this where certain baits take over, like certain styles of baits take over, like from start of season to end of season. Like you just can't go wrong with a blade. You know, those catch a lot of fish. And then there's certain seasons where like you throw on a deucer or a dog, you're gonna catch fish. Like those our king. And it might be all those same effects by the spring and what happened, and maybe a lot of those big females just didn't exactly spawn a bunch. I mean, a lot of those big fish pictures, those females look just like absolute units. Like they were, it's like even if they did spawn, they just went straight to eating and eating and yeah. eating or something. I don't know. And maybe it's the cooler temps that we had up until this warm up, you know, like our water temps just didn't really get super hot. I mean, we still had basin temps of like upper 60s on some lakes and over, you know, July, early July before the warm up. And maybe that kept the bigger fish active. Maybe they're a little bit, they like that more or something like that, you know.
Yeah. One thing that maybe I was thinking of too, you know, now that you got my wheels turning a little bit, is I know we had a bug hatch, obviously, but it seemed like it was really broken up and drawn out, and it was never really going on. Like we didn't have a trolling bite out there this year, where normally there'll be a couple weeks end of June when we mop them up. You know, you can go out and mop up 5-6 fish, you know, in an afternoon when it's really going good. I wonder if those fish moved up shallow because their food never moved out deep, because the bait, you know, the mayflies never really got really good to where all the bait moved out there. So yeah, they need to eat now that the water's warming up, and they have to go someplace else to find it.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's making them more vulnerable.
The big fish were shallow longer and never really pushed out. I mean, I don't think we landed a single basin fish on the lakes that I like to mayfly hatch. I mean, might like to go for that bite. I mean, it was like non-existent. We'd see some rise up in some of the places, but would never sight him as a single muskie. I mean, there's times last year when I was ripping around trolling and we'd mark like 15 to 20 fish on some occasions, and this year I don't think I marked that many in the entire month trying to look for, you know, fish out there in the open water on certain lakes. It definitely was drawn out. I think that's a good theory on that. It all kind of correlates to the temperatures and
that spot gust that you hooked that big one, and that I saw it with Brian. I mean, that's typically a spot you'd see like a 35 incher come out of.
Yeah. Like
obviously there could be big fish there at any point in time, but like, it just doesn't feel like your typical big fish spot by any means.
I mean, I think Clayton touched on it earlier. I mean, like the weed growth is very good this year on many bodies of water, and like there's certain areas on the chain that just have just tremendous, like it's got just great cabbage, there's true, all sorts of this grass, and there's coontail, there's milfoil. I mean, we got tons of different kinds of weeds and these different thick patches, and I think with the extent, like the more weed growth that we have, I think, you know, it's got to be just holding in way more bait shallow. It just provides so much more cover. I mean, shallow relative, you know, still get them on deeper weed edges, but it's definitely holding, it seems like, plenty of fish in shallow. I mean, every once in a while I'll mark these big clouds of shiners like right on the weed edges, but like to me, typically those active fish right now and as of late are just sitting right on that weed edge or like just within an accessible cast length into the weeds, depending on what kind of spot it is. So definitely that's another reason probably why some really big fish are coming out of the chain and really just in general in the whole region up here.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a freaking awesome story, Clayton. Thanks for coming on and sharing that with us. Outside of that, though, I mean, how's the rest of the season been going? Obviously, it sounds like the bite's picked up pretty good here. But, yeah, give us a little quick snapshot. We haven't had you on in a while, so fill the people in on what's been new for you. How's it been going?
Yeah, I think I've, knock on wood, have got all the kinks worked out of my boat now. So it's running good. And I'm, you know, getting into summer. We're running quite a few trips now, and it's been really consistent. Like, we're not hosing them by any means, but we're putting, you know, at least one. Usually most trips have been multiple fish in the boat every time we're going out. And I mean, I cannot complain about that. I'll take that any day. And starting to get some getting some nicer fish here and there, and lots of action. So just loving like the way things are kind of shaping up. This cold front I thought was really going to shut them down, and yet we're still able to put a fish in the boat tonight, and kind of helps me feel good about the rest of the weekend. I got like 4 days straight now of guiding, through the weekend and stuff coming up, and feeling good about being able to get these people on some fish. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Right on. Are you and Nick getting ready for Tonka here in about a month?
I don't know. Does Nick still musky fish? I'm not sure.
He's a walleye guy now.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Nick. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm actually heading to Vermilion with Kyle Hunzader, Hunzy Tails in Green
Oh,
Bay, and
shout
our
out.
good friend Jamie.
Lucky, lucky man.
Yeah, we're gonna go and camp and fish Vermilion next week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that's actually on my radar more than Tonka is yet right now, because I'm focused on that.
I don't blame you there. I don't blame you there. I'd love to get back up there. I'm missing that this year. That trip last year with you guys was just so awesome, and just I don't know. It was good time.
Yeah, definitely. Minnesota's always fun when you don't live there. Maybe
It's
it's fun for
survivable.
everyone that lives there too. I don't know. I guess I don't know for sure. Yeah. No, it's pretty special water over there. Some of
No
those
doubt.
lakes are awesome.
No doubt. All right. Well, thanks for talking to us here on your way home and pulling over and making time for us. We really appreciate it. It's good to have you back on. We'll have to have you and Nick on soon after you guys take the dub at Tonka.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
thank you
thanks
so
for
much
having me
for
on. I appreciate it.
Oh, of
No
course,
problem.
yeah. Thanks for sharing that awesome story and that moment with Clinton Mason. That was really cool to hear. For everybody listening here, we're gonna have that as the thumbnail, the post for Instagram. So check that out. There'll be the picture of the big fish. And yeah, Clayton, thank you so much for coming on. Fill the people in with your guiding info, how they can get in touch with you. And yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. But I guess the rest of this month is booked up now, but I got some scattered dates in August available, and then after that it's pretty, there's it's pretty open yet. A lot of my stuff kind of comes in like a week or two before it happens, but definitely need to get a hold of me. I would recommend at least 2 weeks prior to when you want to go. The sooner the better. But my number is 715-891-1046. You can call or text. If you don't get me, leave a voicemail. I got Thistledew Outdoor Adventures on Facebook and a YouTube channel, and my name Clayton Spies on Facebook and on Instagram. And I have not been doing a whole lot of updates lately. Obviously, we threw that video up there because that was really special, but it's just been go, go, go lately. And I don't have a whole lot of time for social media in between what I got going on, but we are putting fish in the boat, and it's definitely going to be a good time no matter what happens. So
Right.
look me up if you want to get out.
Yeah, full disclosure, if you're not posting on social media, that doesn't mean you're not putting fish in the boat. I've been a
Yeah,
little quiet
100%.
myself. Been a little quiet myself in on the socials as well. Just out there trying to enjoy it as much as possible and stay off my phone when I can. But yeah, it's been go, go, go. But that's what midsummer is. It seems like July is always that month of just full on
Chaos.
go, go, go. It's warming up. Fishing's always good in July, and always want to make the most of it. So
Yeah,
yeah.
it's always gone. It's always gone before you want it to be. So, there's
No,
a lot of
it's
winter. There's a lot of winter months to do the editing and socials and all that other stuff. So you'll get to see all that then. But until then, just assume that we're catching fish because we are.
Yeah. I love that. Well, hopefully we can keep it up in Tuesday night. it's not using up all your luck in Monday and Wednesday now that you're subbing for. Cheating
Yeah,
on me over
hopefully,
there.
hopefully Wednesday is done. Although right now I think I'm in Top Gun for Wednesday night. So I don't know. I kind of want to
Oh
go
my
back and fish
goodness.
that. But 3 nights a league a week is a lot.
Oh,
That is
that
a
is a
lot.
lot. Even two can be a good bit, but I really, really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
It's so much fun. Yep.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll sign off here. Brian had to leave. I think he had a mixture of needing to go to bed and probably technical difficulties. Somehow living in, the big city of Kakana, he has the worst Wi-Fi of us all. But nonetheless, sorry again for no outro from Brian. But thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys.
See you,
See you,
Clayton.
Clayton.
That's a 20-footer.
25. 3 tons, Alan.